The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
I let him do a referee. I knew the guy. He's a good guy. I let him call the worst holding call. I let him have it. I felt so bad. I asked the NFL for his address after the game. I was going to write him an apology letter. They wouldn't give me his address. And if I was going to go and, like, you know, egg his house or something, I'm like, I feel like I'm an apology letter. Like, nobody writes the referees an apology letter. So, anyway, the guy thinks I'm a jerk to this day because I cussed him out for a holding call against the Dolphins in the second quarter.
What everybody's talking about is the Peyton Eli show with Travis Kelce not knowing who they're playing in Kirsten, by the way, and then Russell Wilson talking about his beautiful wife, Sierra, wearing a number 3 at the Met Ball Gala with
saw
the Super Bowl
ring. Yeah, did see that.
That looked, she looked like she was
football
having fun.
Football hand clutch, yeah.
Dude. And it was all of a sudden the entertainment value of Monday Night Football that they've been searching for years and years and years since the 70s with Howard Cosell and Frank Gifford and Don Drysdale. I mean, that goes way back. But people might remember the desperate attempts of like Dennis Miller or Tony Kornheiser or, I don't know, the Boogermobile. And all of a sudden, the most entertaining form of watching Monday Night Football came with two dudes just sitting on their couch who are brothers that have a great back and forth with each other.
Did you watch the whole thing on there?
I did. The whole thing.
Yeah,
I
loved the fact that it was a secondary broadcast. Because I liked the ability to go back and forth, and I did. I went back and forth a lot. I thought it was fantastic at moments. There were other moments that I thought it was just a little bit too distracting, and I wanted to watch the football game. You know, if you're watching ESPN2, you're there to watch Peyton and Eli. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, that was a very entertaining show in its own right, but it just didn't feel like I was watching a football game. So there were moments that I actually flipped over to the other broadcast because I just wanted to watch the football game without the distraction of a 3-person conversation that is going on with that isn't related. But that being said, I think that they could fine tune that thing and it could be something so much more and better than what it is right now. And it could be like a permanent product. They would have to fine tune it. It would have to be a little bit different. But if they would take away the third guy that was always there, that would be a good step for me because I found myself hear Eli and Peyton just chop it up. And I never felt like you got to hear them chop it up because they were interviewing someone the whole time.
I would tend to agree with you. I don't think they need that third person as much as they did. They're pretty good just on their own. And maybe they felt like they needed a bit of a crutch because they're just unsure about the whole thing. So I would agree with you there. That being said, and by the way, this isn't exactly a new idea. Not to toot our own horn here at The Fan, but when I started with The Fan in 2008 with Oren Lamenna, we used to do virtually the same thing when preseason games were on. We were on, like, you know, at night or something. We would do the same type of thing. We actually did the same type of thing not that long ago with John Davison or Orlando Franklin, and we got, like, cease and desist orders from the NFL. The key for them is they have the rights to the game.
Yeah.
So they can actually show the game, which is what the unique thing is. And I know they've done it in college football as well. So again, it's not like, you know, it's not a brand new thing. They didn't think of something that hadn't existed. It just was the chemistry with the Manning brothers is so great. You know who actually would be a fun third person every now and then? Is put their brother Cooper on.
Sure.
He's pretty funny in his own right. Or bring Archie in every now and then.
Well, absolutely. And I don't mind the third person coming in here and there because it is fun. I mean, Peyton and Eli and friends, that is fun. I just think the feature should just be the two of them. It just is a little bit too much for me to watch the entire thing. Like I didn't feel like I was watching football the entire time. And there were moments that I wanted to watch football. But ironically, when it came down to the end, when the pressure was on, I did flip back over to Peyton and Eli because I wanted to see what they were talking about the whole time. And I just happened to get lucky that they brought on Russell. And that was like the best part of the entire broadcast when they had Russell Wilson on.
Yeah, and for the record, I think Steve and Brian and Lewis Riddick do a great traditional type of job. I just like the snarkiness of it. So anyways, it's a success, though. Let me tell you, whether they fine tune it or how they fine tune it, the reviews on this thing are off the charts and everybody's talking about it. There were some shakeups with the Broncos today, Tyler. Ronald Darby was put on IR for 3 weeks. Let's hope it's not longer than that. Or he's expected to come back after 3 weeks. The new IR rules is you can put how many guys you want on IR. They have to sit out for at least 3 weeks. They certainly could sit out longer. But they can come back one time during the year per guy. You can't just come on and off all the time, but you can do it one time. And Jerry Jeudy was put on IR as well. The corresponding moves were Hall of Famer Kendall Hinton was brought up as a wide receiver over Seth Williams and Tyree Cleveland. Patrick Surtain will certainly now have a significant starting role. Never mind just 16 plays. He'll probably play every single play that the defense is out there. And Najosterman Ferris comes from the goes to the practice squad. And is there something else there? I think I got it.
No, no, no. That was a lot. I think you did great.
Okay. So the big news, though, of course, is Darby's out and yep. Surtain is in. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what happens. We had a little bit of a dilemma with Patrick Surtain and how you were going to utilize him this year. It wasn't that big of a deal because, I mean, when you got good players, that's not a bad thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, he was going to have to buy his time and earn his role. Now you're going to get called upon. He's going to go play the position that he was drafted to play. And if he plays really good football, I don't see why they would ever go back to Ronald Darby, as crazy as that sounds, with the money that they just gave him. Why would you take your first rounder off the field if he plays good football?
Okay, so we're off and running with some shakeups, and we'll dig into the Jaguars here. You're wearing your Pedal with Paloma shirt. You kind of got Jaguars colors on right there.
What? This isn't even close to Jags. What are you talking about?
Kind of.
Huh?
Weird.
Kind of. No, this is teal, buddy. This is
What are they wearing in Jacksonville?
Not this teal.
We'll dig into that as we go on and what's happening with Urban Meyer. But there's been a trade proposal put out there in the fun fantasy world that would bring Aaron Rodgers here. Details and reaction to that next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Oh man, I want to tell you about this trade to get your reaction, but I'm running into a Twitter beef.
With who? Am I in it?
You are not. No, we are on the sidelines for this one. It's between Mike Kliss and the PR.
Oh, what do you know? Shocker.
And the PR head of the Jaguars.
Kliss. I mean, what a come on. How many times a year does Kliss get in the war? How many times a year? How many Twitter fights a year? Does he have like a minimum? Does he have a quota that he has to meet? Is it like 5 Twitter fights a year?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't count Twitter fights if it's just like, well, Mike's case, a viewer, you know, he's a TV guy, or just a back and forth with a listener. I don't really count that.
You know, like a little, just little jab, or just a little punch. Like, that's not a Twitter fight,
no,
right?
No, Twitter fight needs to come from, like,
it's like back and forth, bows, like retweet style, right?
I guess you kind of know him when you see him, but, well, I might as well tell you what this is, and we'll get to the proposed trade here in a second. So it started with Ryan O'Halloran, actually. And Ryan's a great guy. He's a writer for the Denver Post. Thank you, Kevin. So Ryan puts out there a couple hours ago, Jaguars declining to make Urban Meyer available to esteemed Broncos media, tongue firmly in cheek, this week via conference call. In parentheses, wonder if that's when he'll be visiting with USC. Hashtag kidding, but only a little. Because there are rumors about Urban Meyer maybe being interested in USC's job. We're actually seeing reports that perhaps it's Eric Bieniemy that may get that gig. So, Mike Kliss, 9 News Insider, our good friend, this is a disgrace. toughen up, Urban. This is the NFL. And here comes the fight. Amy Pulsic. Don't know her, don't know anything about her, but she's the head PR person of the Jaguars. It was 100% my call, Mike Kliss and Ryan O'Halloran. Rip me.
Yeah.
Majority of teams don't do these anymore. I understand we are living in a world where people have to be outraged about something. Well, Kliss isn't going to take that sitting down.
No.
No, sir. So,
do you know me? Do you know who you're getting in a Twitter fight with right now? Because I don't back down from anybody. I didn't back down from Nikki. I'm not going to back down from you either.
That's right. And Mike responds, majority? This is the first coach I can remember that has ducked the Denver media. Bad decision here.
Did she respond again? No.
She is that it? I guess that's where it is.
Wow.
So apparently, Kliss got the knockout blow there. I guess.
Love it. Yeah. I love it. Atta boy.
Oh, my God.
Klissy poo going at it.
Look at that. I told you it was unusual.
You know, I'll take you at your word. I honestly have no idea if it's unusual or not. Totally will take you at your word. If you say it is, I believe you.
Well, I've just been on him for every Wednesday for the past, like, 13 years.
I know
years.
If I were a coach, I would do the bare minimum. Like, seriously, I'm being dead honest. I would do the absolute minimum required media appearances that I had to.
Amy's taking one for the team there, saying it's on her and, you know, not Urban Meyer. But we don't know who Amy is. We know who Urban Meyer is. We know who Peter Schrager is as well. And he's with NFL Network. All right, you ready for this? This is an in-season trade proposal, by the way. This is not next year. This is now, in-season. Broncos get Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
In-season, not next year, right now. Packers get Teddy Bridgewater, Bradley Chubb, KJ Hamler, a 22 first-round pick, 2023 first-round pick, 2024 first-round pick.
Excuse me? Anything else?
that's it.
That's all?
What do you think of that deal?
I mean, what are we talking about? Goodness gracious. Holy cow. I mean, this is like a Deshaun Watson type of trade. That's like what we were talking about giving up for. That's more than what we were talking about giving up for Deshaun Watson. What do I think about it? Hell no. No, of course not. I mean, I'm definitely interested in Aaron Rodgers. Don't put me in a category that's counting Aaron Rodgers out. No, I think he's got a lot of good football left in him, my opinion. I am definitely interested. Would I give away my entire team and three first rounders for him? No, I wouldn't do that. I guess it is interesting though, because you look at it and you say, all right, well, what's really the problem? Because would I give up Teddy Bridgewater? Well, duh. I mean, if I'm going to get a new quarterback, then sure. That's like when remember when the team was trying to convince us that Drew Locke was not included in the offer for Matt Stafford, and that's why they didn't get the deal done? Mm-hmm. Like, that made zero sense, ever. If you're going to get a new starting quarterback, why would you care about your old starting quarterback? So if they want Teddy, no problem. You know, even the players that are involved. Okay, Bradley Chubb, that's an interesting one. He's going to be tough decision, man. A lot of injuries, plays at a high level. His production is going to warrant a big-time contract, but you're going to have big-time concerns based off of injuries. KJ Hamler, like, okay, fine. Dime a dozen, honestly. There's a lot of guys in the league like KJ Hamler. But the three first-rounders on top of all that, I can't do that. I just can't do all that.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, that's where the bow breaks. You know, you can move on from Bradley, unfortunately.
He would be the toughest of that group to move on from.
Yeah, but it's okay. Sure. But if that's the cost of getting Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
The big question, here's the big question though. What happened with Aaron Rodgers in that first week? It's not that the team just lost. He looked terrible. So what the hell's going on with this guy? Is it really an RELAX moment? Or is it indicative of something more serious? What do you think?
Oh, I'm not, like, if I were a Packers fan, I wouldn't be concerned about it at all. Like, yeah, it was not good. I'd be concerned about my football team. I wouldn't be worried about Aaron Rodgers. The dude's got plenty of football left in the tank. He's going to be just fine. I mean, I don't know if he'll be elite. I don't know if he'll be the MVP of the National Football League. Probably won't. Matter of fact, one game like that, and he probably will not be the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But I firmly believe that Aaron Rodgers has a lot of good football left in him.
All right, well, let's dig into it. Perhaps that's something for you to have a hot take on. Hot Take Tuesday, we kick it off next, presented by Papa Murphy's, 303-713-1043. It's The Drive on The Fan.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
This season's going to be like, you're going to tell me everything I need to know.
All right, ink complete. What does that tell you?
Looking at 6-11. 6-11 right now.
Yeah, those stupid Raiders won. They won the game. You know what's funny about the Peyton Eli show, Tyler, was they weren't rooting for the Ravens or the Ravens. They were rooting for the offense. So whoever had the ball on offense is who they were rooting for.
Yeah, yeah. Although I will admit that it was just a little bit uncomfortable seeing Peyton dressed up as John Gruden. I didn't like it. I knew it was a bit. I knew what he was doing. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
It's Hot Take Tuesday, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Order your pizza for pickup today. In my never-ending quest to prove that I am a mile long and 3 inches deep, it is Don Meredith, not Don Drysdale.
Oh, there you go.
But you knew where I was going.
Of course, of course. Never would have questioned you.
D-Mac, I know you've been big on this situation with ownership. This is really not a hot take, but sort of, I guess. What are your thoughts on Jay-Z potentially being part of a group with Bezos to buy the Broncos? Well, I would be all for it. I would think that would be fantastic. I'd be a big fan of Bezos and Jay-Z.
I mean, something about that just sounds funny to me.
It does.
I mean, I'd be a big fan of Jay-Z. Those two, that combination.
I would.
Oh, that just sounds weird. Like, why those two, you know?
Well, Bezos is he the richest guy on earth? Or he's one of them, right?
He's up there.
And I have stadium envy. And yes, we've enjoyed Empower Field and Mile High and the whole thing. And I know there's a historic reason that it's down in that quirky little corner sandwiched between I-25 and Federal. But there's nobody on God's green earth, if starting from scratch, would ever build that stadium in that spot again. I'd probably put Coors Field exactly where Coors Field is. I'd probably put Pepsi Center, Ball Arena, exactly where Ball Arena is. The locations for those two places are fantastic. Tyler, nobody in their right mind would actually build a football stadium for today's NFL where Empower Field is. They just wouldn't, because you can't put enough other stuff around it to make it interesting.
Well, it's a cool location just from like the scenic point of view, being right there on the highway. It's incredible. Passing it all the time. I don't know. I mean, I know what you're saying about the real estate development that comes around it, but I mean, the actual location right there in the heart of downtown, I think it's kind of badass right where it's at.
I think it's short-sighted. You'd never get a Super Bowl. You can't use it for other big events. How about the Death Star out there in Vegas? You get a good peek at that last night?
I feel like you're always really concerned about our stadium. Like, you hate our stadium?
I think
we've got a fine stadium. Like, I don't feel any desire to go get a new stadium.
If you can't have a Super Bowl, you don't have the right kind of stadium in the NFL.
What do you mean? Like, who's paying for it? I don't need a new stadium if we're paying for it.
Jeff Bezos.
Okay, fine, but that's not the way it works. Why do most teams leave?
I get it. They're not owned by Jeff Bezos.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, we've got a pretty nice stadium. I'm not concerned by it. I go to Mile High and Power Field to Mile High, and I'm like, wow, that was a good experience. Like, that was fun. I was just there this weekend. I think it's great.
It's terrible.
Oh, okay.
And when you look at Kroenke World and the Death Star and the Star in Dallas.
Which is fine as long as those billionaires are paying for
it.
I'll
tell you this.
I mean, you want to build the toy? No problem. That's your money.
Even the Cardinals have it better in Glendale. The Colts have it better in Indy. There's a lot of places that have it better than the Broncos at this point.
Of course, we've got a 20-year-old stadium. Of course, we're going to be behind the eight ball. I just do not even remotely feel like it's a bad experience when I go watch a game there. I think it's a great experience.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you like going there.
Well, what is a bad experience about Mile High?
Well, you can't do anything else down there. There's nothing else to do down there. That's it. It's good for, you know, 8 or 9 Sundays a year with the Broncos, Thursday, Monday, no, Sundays. It's just good for that. It's just incredibly short-sighted.
All right,
And you're never gonna have a Super Bowl.
Hey, man, if a new owner wants to come in, build a new stadium with your money, no problem, man. Go for it. Like totally.
We haven't got a Super Bowl because we don't have a dome. That is correct. There's no doubt about it. Hot Take Tuesday, Aqib Talib should be on with the Manning brothers. Well, I can't argue with that. That would be awesome to see Aqib there. Mm-mm. Trevor Lawrence will get his welcome to the NFL moment via Von Miller, Peter in L.A. Thank you, Peter. How much have you looked at the Jags? I mean, even
well, we'll have the breakdown tomorrow, so I'll give you the full preview, offense, defense, tomorrow. But, you know, just seeing a few highlights here and there. And, you know, it looks like it's a team that's got a lot going on and not a whole lot going on in the right direction right now. Trevor Lawrence didn't look great. The team doesn't look good. Urban Meyer doesn't seem to have anybody overly inspired. I'm looking forward to breaking it down a little bit more tonight and tomorrow when we'll do the heavy film study. But, I mean, the early results just doesn't look very intimidating.
The suggestion on the trade, you know, Richie during the break was talking like, hey, this idea of a couple players and three first-round draft picks, that's nothing new for Aaron Rodgers. What's the difference now? Do you think...
That's an interesting point, it is. I mean, if we're willing to do that in the offseason, which I think we all were, right? What has really changed in theory? What's changed? So Aaron Rodgers had one bad game and Teddy Bridgewater's had one fantastic game.
I guess that's what's changed.
Yeah?
I guess that's the most significant change that people might be having doubts about Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, well, if you doubt Aaron Rodgers, I get that part of it. I guess for me, it's more so, it's not like I think that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the future. I don't think that he's going to be on a second deal with the Broncos. It's not that. It's not like I'm buying into the hype, like I want to give this dude a new deal. No, but he did play good enough football that you say, do you really want to give up the entire farm to go get Aaron Rodgers at this point? Like, do you want to see it through a little bit? Yeah, I guess I'd want to see it through a little bit. If you told me it was those three players and two first-rounders, I'd say done. Done deal. Sign me up.
So you, just I'm checking, you wouldn't be for a trade during the season at this point?
Well, like I just said, I mean, if you said it was those three players plus two first-rounders, sign me up.
Okay. Three first-rounders?
I'm out. I think that's too much. I do. I mean, three first-rounders to me is a decade type of player. Aaron Rodgers isn't that. I would give up three first-rounders for Deshaun Watson in a heartbeat because... Well, not now, but I mean, back in the day when this was all realistic, because he would have been on your team in theory for 12, 15 years. That's the type of future you were looking at. I'm not giving up three first rounders when you know that the day you go get Aaron Rodgers, you're in win now mode and you got to be able to replace whatever ammunition you give up, right? Otherwise, what's the point of going out to get him? Because you've got a 2 to 3 year window to go try to win a Super Bowl.
Is Wrigley Field a bad experience? Shut up, D-Mac. I'm glad you brought up Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field is cornered in a neighborhood that's impossible to get around in, and they have done major construction to Wrigley Field. In fact, they put lights in when there had been no lights for a long time. So is it a bad experience? Well, it was bad enough that new ownership came in there and did millions and millions and millions of dollars of renovation. Plus, I don't want to be nitpicky with you, but they don't play the Super Bowl in baseball. just to let you know, it's a new rule. They actually don't have a Super Bowl in baseball. It's not the same sport. But great try. Never give up. More of your hot takes, 303-713-1043. I understand we have a pretty good update with Pedal with Columbus.
Big time update with Pedal
with
Columbus.
We'll get to that next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Pedal with Columbus. Today is a huge day, Tyler, and a
huge day.
Talk all about it.
Well, D-Mac, it all began with Safeway, who, well, actually, I mean, let's back up. I mean, I want to tell the full story. So last year was the first year that I did Pedal with Columbus to beat ovarian cancer. And it was in honor of my mother who passed away from stage 4 ovarian cancer. She fought for 6 years. And last year, in the middle of a pandemic, we raised over $40,000. And it was just me going in a loop around that stadium by myself for hours and hours and hours. And it was incredible that we were able to raise that amount of money. This year, we've got a very limited group. We've got 50 riders that are going to ride with me. That's sold out. Unfortunately, you can't join in an actual ride, but you still can make a huge difference. And my goal this year was to double that. I was like, you know what? We raised around $40,000 last year. Let's make a little bit over $80,000 this year. So today, we'd been in the works with Safeway for a while now trying to figure this all out. But today, I'm able to announce that October 1st through 3rd, Safeway is going to be doing a roundup at every store in the state of Colorado. And at every single store, for every single purchase, you will be asked if you would like to round up $1, $3, $5 to donate to Colorado Ovarian Cancer Alliance. Unfortunately, the date of that comes after my event, so it was tough to figure out how much money that's going to be. So I said, hey, could you just give me like a ballpark of what that's worth? So they said, you know what? We're going to commit $25,000 to you. That's what we're committing at a minimum. If it's more than that, you're getting everything that comes in above that over those 3 days. When I say you, it's not me. It's Colorado Ovarian Cancer Alliance. They're the ones that are getting the money, but they just really brought it in over the top. So that set us today. We were like $83,000 and then had a very generous donor who had popped in, said, hey, I want to donate $5,000, but I want to get it matched. Then I'm sitting there thinking, man, we're so close. Like, yeah, my initial goal was to double it around $80,000. We were at 83 this morning and so many sponsors to thank and so many people to thank, but I was sitting there like, all right, well, why don't we go to six figures? So made a challenge, that I would donate an additional $5,000 to be matched. So we had $10,000 today. D-Mac, I mean, it's insane. It took about 15 minutes. We're over $100,000. Seriously.
Well, very cool.
Right now, we're over $100,000.
Wow.
Just absolutely insane.
That's
because
awesome.
Of you guys. And it honestly is amazing. Like, it makes me choked up thinking about it. I cannot believe the support that you guys have for, it's not for me. I know it's for something that's so much bigger than me. It's for the cause. It's for the people that you love. It's for the people that have suffered just like my mom did, because you don't want other women to have to go through it. But we're already over $100,000, but we're not done, man. I mean, shoot. Why not just keep raising the number, right? So let's keep going. You can go to denverfan.com/pedal and believe me, $5, $10, $50, it's all going to go a long ways.
Denverfan.com. Love it. Oh, we're going to have Troy Rank on here shortly. There's a lot of Broncos news going on with some roster adjustments. Ron on a Hot Take Tuesday. Yeah, Ron, go ahead. You're on the Fan. Ron, my man.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
Well, son, tell us the truth, Ron. Don't lie to us.
Oh, man, I just feel like Denver, you know, finally has something going on, whether it goes, you know, unnoticed or not, but me and I could probably imagine a lot of people could feel the same way about Aaron Rodgers. Just reminds us of the Flacco and the pigeon feet and the worrisome that brought us all. So I'm comfortable, Teddy B. Keep doing your thing out there.
All right, so you'd rather
they're going to play ball this year, and this is what we've been waiting for. So
appreciate it, Ron. He'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater.
Everybody knows that I love me some Teddy. I respect Teddy Bridgewater. I know who he is. He's an average quarterback. He's not elite. Would I take Aaron Rodgers over Teddy Bridgewater? Of course I would. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you concerned about that one game, like, to the degree that you wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers?
I have concerns, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Because when it falls off, when it falls off for older quarterbacks, it falls all the way off and it falls quickly. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, joins us courtesy of
ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
Well, Troy, would you give up Peter Schrager's proposal before the trade deadline? So this year, Aaron Rodgers for Bradley Chubb, Teddy Bridgewater, KJ Hamler, and 3 first-round picks. Would you do that deal, Troy?
No, I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't have to do that. I mean, there's no reason you'd have to give up 6 components for Rodgers at that age. You'd be overpaying. Now, would you be in discussions for Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely. But that is a complete overpay at that point. I mean, you don't need to do that deal. There's a better deal for him. I mean, he's going to have to play. Now, if he's playing at MVP level at the time of the deal, then, yeah, it's like you're buying the hottest car on the showroom floor. But I wouldn't give up that price for him. I want to see how Rodgers does this year, frankly. I mean, I'm not worried about him falling off. I think that's a misnomer. D-Mac, it's not an athletic thing. I'm just wondering if he is going to become disengaged with football as he did this entire offseason. That would be my only concern with Rodgers. He's the reigning MVP, but does he still want to play? How much longer does he want to play football? That would be my only concern with Rodgers, because he doesn't have to play football and he has a multitude of other interests.
Troy, I find this beef between Urban Meyer and the state of Colorado media here kind of fascinating. I'm curious your thoughts on the process. So Urban Meyer, for anybody that doesn't know, he declined the opportunity to speak to our media, which is more or less industry norm. It's not required, but most coaches do it. I think most coaches do it. I'm curious your point of view, Troy. Have you had any other head coaches decline this particular interview?
Yeah, I mean, there probably has been. I've covered the Broncos, I think it's my 11th year, dating back to like 96 to 2000 and then back since 2014. It seems like there might have been one other time. It is rare. The PR rep for the Jaguars said it was her decision to not make him available, that other team. I will say this. other teams are not always making the opposing coach available as they used to every time on a conference call. That now, it hasn't necessarily affected the Broncos, I think in part because the Broncos always reciprocate. They're one of the best in the media of making their head coach available and a star player like Bond or the quarterback. Because some other teams, what we ran into in recent years, where you couldn't get a star player and you couldn't get the quarterback. And so when you're the opposing media, you need low-hanging fruit for your audience. You're not wanting, you know, the backup dime safety guy. That doesn't work. So it's, for me, it's just a bad look for Meyer. They can say it's not. That's fine. But coming off of just an awful game and, you know, he's being linked to the USC job and is he right for the NFL? Then all of a sudden he's not available to the opposing NFL media. And that's literally like D-Mac's been in there. It's like eight questions.
Yeah.
And there's been some awkward ones. I've been on ones where, guys, hey, you think you're going to be fired? Do you think, what were you thinking on this play call? There's going to be none of that. It's going to be probably three questions about Trevor Lawrence and a couple more about his interest and why he came back to the NFL. And that's it. That's, and then they say, okay, wrap it up. So that's why for me, it's a bad look for him this week. It just looks like he's not being accountable to it, but they're saying that, hey, that's the new industry norm. I'd say that's not the industry norm in terms of opposing coaches talking to the Denver media, though.
Yeah, I mean, this week he would definitely be asked about his interest in the USC job. But, I mean, so what? He'll be asked about that anyways. That's just something he's going to have to deal with one way or the other. And it can simply be, no, I have no interest in that because I'm focused on being the Jaguars head coach. That's all you have to say, by the way. So it's not exactly, you know.
And nobody cares if you lie because you're a football coach.
Yeah, they lie all the time. All right, Troy, why don't you bring us up to date with all the news going on with Darby that caught me by surprise and what they're doing with Jerry Jeudy and everything else that goes along with it.
Yeah, quickly wrapping this up. Darby was a surprise. He got hurt on the second to last play of the game. He strained his hamstring. And it wasn't mentioned after the game. It wasn't mentioned by Vic on Monday. And so when it came out that he was going on, I was like, man, I didn't see that. I knew Jeudy was going on the IR. Darby is expected to only, right now they're hopeful he'll only miss the 3 weeks required for the short-term IR. And Jeudy is now placed on short-term IR. He is more of a 4 to 6 week absence, so he's not going to come off the IR right at 3 weeks. That's not realistic for him. So to replace him, they bring up Nate Hairston from the practice squad, who had a great camp. He beat out essentially Kerry Vincent. Didn't necessarily work out their way with the roster, but he's coming up to fill that spot. Patrick Surtain will now move into a starting role with Callahan, with Kyle Fuller, who played really well outside of one play on Sunday. And then Jeudy, they promoted Kendall Hinton from the practice squad over Seth Williams and Tyree Cleveland, both former draft picks. But Hinton has a little more versatility, and I do know that they were just so encouraged by his development over the last few months as a receiver, special teams guy. He's a glue kind of guy, which Tyler knows. Sometimes at the end of the roster, you know, if some maybe another guy's a little better athlete, but you want a glue guy that just fits the puzzle piece better. And Kendall Hinton will get a chance to practice. He's been promoted, and they added a couple practice squad guys. But honestly, the practice squad things for me don't necessarily move the needle. But good for Hinton. And this is now it's time for Pat Surtain, guys, because they didn't say it, but the reality was he got benched after he missed that tackle on the touchdown. That's what the stat sheet says. He played every snap he played was prior to that missed tackle on Sterling Shepard. And some of it was the way the game flowed. I get it. But he didn't go back in. So this is a chance for him, and he's going to be fine. But this is a chance for him to answer the bell now. He's going to get 3, maybe 4 weeks of real legit playing time.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out how well he's going to play. Hey, Troy, they're going out early this week out to Jacksonville, day earlier than they normally do. Normally fly out on Saturday. They're going Friday this week. Is this something that they're planning on doing for the majority of the season, or is it just an East Coast deal?
It would just be East Coast. Some of it, I'm sure they haven't said this, but I know some of it's the humidity issue. I'm sure they went back and watched Packers look gassed against the Saints in Jacksonville this past week. So it's not the worst thing to, you know, accommodate and acclimate as you're trying to get off to this great start. Because in the NFL, money's no object. I mean, what are we talking about? It's extra nights of hotel rooms. Who cares? I mean, really. So if you think it's going to give your football team a better chance to win, you do it. I learned that from Mike Shanahan's teams. Extra seat on the plane, movies in the hotel room. I mean, all that stuff mattered, and they felt obligated to win for the guy. So it is part of a bigger story, Tyler. Vic Fangio has made adjustments as a head coach, giving players Tuesday off. It really was unpopular for them to have to come in on Tuesdays because a lot of guys have to get treatment on Mondays anyway, and that was considered their off day the first 2 years. Guys didn't like that. Not all, I'm not saying all of them, but there was a good chunk that didn't like it. Tuesday's now the clear off day. He adjusted practice schedule a few times after talking to team captains. Now they're going out a day early. He talked to his offense during the game and said, hey, I'm going for fourth because I believe in you. It may not amount to anything, but right now it's something. He is growing as a head coach. We'll see if it'll matter. But right now he's clearly making some changes in how he approaches the team overall.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Troy. We'll talk to you later this week.
You got it, guys. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, courtesy.
ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
Sad passing today. Don't know if you caught it. Norm McDonald passed away at age 61 after battling cancer for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he was sick. I don't know if anybody really knew he was sick. I just found myself really saddened by that. I think he might have been one of my overall favorite comedians out there.
Oh, what a funny dude, for sure. I had no idea that he was sick. Definitely one of those moments that catches you by surprise. You never know what anybody's really going through. But, man, what a what wild news. Just a tough day, huh?
Yeah. That caught me by surprise. So, you know, I know we're doing Pedal with Palumbus and cancer, and I'm just going back to it with you because I'm seeing the expressions on the text line. It's really impressive, man. And I just want to congratulate you for doing what you did. I mean, it must have been just such a ridiculously tough thing to go through.
Man, I appreciate it. It was a really hard process to just watch your mom have to suffer like that. I'm not gonna lie, this event, there were a lot of challenges to get it up and running.
Mm-hmm.
There were multiple times that I was about ready to just bail on it and seriously, thank God I had a great team that kept encouraging me to keep going. We're gonna figure it all out. And we did figure it all out, and it's just been amazing, heartwarming to see the donations rolling in. Dude, $100,000?
That's crazy.
We've raised over $100,000 this year.
Wild.
Are you kidding me? I mean, that is flat out insane. The power that you guys bring to change lives and save lives. Man, all the credit goes to the listeners. So grateful that this is a cause that they resonate with. And unfortunately, the sad reality is, the reason why it's such a strong turnout is because so many people have been impacted. It's not just me. It's not just my mom. There are so many people that are donating, telling their story that they've been impacted. And that's why everybody is feeling so generous about it.
Okay. So proud that, hey, proud of you, proud of everything, and looking forward to the ride. I know you might not be.
I'm stressing. I'm not going to lie. I haven't been able to get on the bike for almost 3 weeks now because I've got a very severe back injury. Need a very severe surgery, very serious surgery. I'll figure it out, man. I've been training as much as I can indoors. I just can't handle the shock of the road right now. So many people have been telling me to go in and get fitted. Trust me, I've got the best fit I could possibly get. I got the best team, Eric over at Adventure Cycling. Mm-hmm. He got me in an incredible bike. Trust me, he's got me fit right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I've got an injury, you know? And so it's been really, really hard. I'm going to be there though, dude. I'm going to figure it out. I'm a gamer. I've had to play through injuries many times in my life. So, right now I'm training as much as I can inside. But I'll be a gamer. I'll figure it out, dude. I'll figure it out. It's going to be a challenge.
But those who are betting on who wins between me and Tyler in a sprint at the end, I just want you to keep all the information.
I'll still kick your ass.
Would you think it would get to that kind of competitive situation where it's like,
I guess when I'm still a competitor. Are you kidding me?
No, I know. I guess
the juices get rolling. It's
right.
like you hurt Monday through Friday. You hurt right. on Saturday. You hurt like for the warm ups of the game, but then you get that first hit and all that pain
Let's
goes
go.
Away, you know?
Let's go. KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.